he live? I wasn't here last Sunday for Easter, but one thing that always gives me assurance is because he lives. Today, I just want to talk about the assurance of Jesus' resurrection to believers. Aren't you happy that he did not remain in the grave? If Jesus were to remain in the grave, where will our hope be? Where will our hope be? We cannot boldly say we serve a living God if he has not made it out of the grave. Praise the Lord. My text is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians 15, 19 to 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 19 to 22. He said, if in the life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since by men came death, and by men also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Abraham all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Aren't you glad that he did not remain in the grave? Aren't you glad? As a child of God, as Christian, as believer, earlier we were talking about the Holy Spirit. Thank God that Jesus Christ fulfilled destiny. Because if Jesus Christ does not finish the work that he has come to do, there wouldn't be Holy Spirit. If he has not completed the work that the Lord has given to him, now we are asking the Holy Spirit to help us. Who will be our help if he had been selfish and refused to do the will and the plan of God? That is why I like Christmas, but Easter is special to me. All are born, but did all fulfill destiny? So I celebrate birth. Don't get me wrong, but death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is special in my heart, because that is my hope. We are talking about the assurance. What are the assurance that the death of Christ and the resurrection gave to me and you as children of God? As children of God that believe in Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of Christian faith. Without the resurrection, the belief in God's saving grace through Christ is destroyed. When Christ rose from the dead, he confirmed the identity as the Son of God and his work of atonement, redemption, reconciliation and salvation was complete. The resurrection was a real, literally physical, because when they went there, he was not found there. There is no historian that can say this is where the body of Christ is today. Today. I'm pretty sure if it's somewhere, somebody will have saw it. Somebody will have seen it. And thinking about how people are digging and finding and looking, they would have found it. Doesn't that give you a chill that the work of your salvation was complete with no dent? There is no inch of dent, no doubt that the work of reconciliation was done. Number one, I want to talk about atonement. What does atonement mean? We all know it literally. But can a man that is a sin atone for another, a sinner? Thank God that Jesus Christ completes that work. The reconciliation of God and humankind through Jesus Christ. He finished that. He finished that. That is why we as Christians, we can clearly and boldly say he is the atonement of our sin because he paid it all. Redemption. We talk about redemption. The act of saving or being saved from sin. Ah, praise the Lord. Errors or evil. Redemption means purchasing back. Me and you, we are talking this morning, we are talking about how can we not be judgmental. I like the way my sister talked about her husband. But that wasn't Brother Indy doing that. That is the Holy Spirit in him doing that work. Because on a physical ground, you will say, this is the lady I want to marry. She's going with another man. That flesh will overtake you. But because God has ordained her, that is why as children of God, we have to pray that people, the soul that you have prepared, because when God prepares a soul, even in your mistake, you will perfect the work of God. Even in your own little mistake, you will perfect the work of God. And that is what happened. And that is why I like when our sister was praying that the Lord should help us. Because let me tell you, I don't know about you, but I know about me, Oluyemisi. I can't do anything right by my own self. If not for the grace of God. If not for God that will help me. Because even when you think you are doing the right thing, when you think you are doing the right thing, you might not really be doing the right thing. Unless the Holy Spirit is the one guiding and directing you. And let the truth be told. How many men here, your wife, the one that you want to marry, you see that person go with another man, and you say, sister, let's go to church the next day. No. Let us be realistic here. That is why I'm telling you that that can only be but God. And I know it when God is working in me. Because sometimes I do something, I say, oh, yeah, see, this is not you. Because I know if it were to be me doing that, I told you the story in my place of work when another church nurse came to my and started counting, opening my room. Be in me, the only I'm seeing me, wanted to go and choke her. I was about ready to choke her. The thing is this short. You know those people, they are not tall. It's this short. And even my height alone, I can really do it. But I don't know where the Holy Spirit just get a hold of me that night. And I just put my head down like this. And the other nurse was like, Yemi, you going to take this? You going to take this? And I just thank God. Because I know that was in me. And I'm not taking any credit for that. A lot of things that we do, it is because of the Holy Spirit. Thank God that Jesus Christ fulfilled destiny and left us with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, me and you, we can look at ourselves today and say, I just arrived. I'm praying for 2 hours, 3 hours, 10 hours. I fasted. I do this. You are not doing it by yourself. You have to give it all to Jesus Christ that finished that work on that cross. That finished it. He said it is finished. He did not say, this one is getting too much. Oh, Lord, come and finish it. Where will you be today if he said that? Where will I be today if he didn't finish that work? Adam did what Adam did. And if you look at the Bible from Genesis, it was just like God just wanted this wonderful, perfect family. And he was working at it. Thank God that Jesus Christ perfected it for me and you. That is our hope. That is the only reason we can come boldly and say, oh Lord, here I am. By ourselves, he said, even every of our righteousness. You are being good, you are being nice. It's filthy rag. Thank God for Jesus Christ. All that we are saying, that we should not let pride, you know, overtake us, is because the Holy Spirit is in us that can help us. Do you know that there are some people that do wicked things and they do not realize they are doing wicked things? They do something bad. Because I'm still saying, how can you shoot somebody, boom, and keep on moving? And don't feel it. You don't feel it at all. It's not because we are special, we are human beings just like them. It's the grace of God, it's the Holy Spirit in us that is putting that awareness into us. Let us not take it for granted or think we have arrived. That is why, as Christians, when you think about what Jesus Christ does for you, you will not take it for granted. Our brother said it rightly this morning. He said, we are too familiar. I said, you're right. I am. Sometimes we take things for granted, forgetting who paid the price for us. Let me tell you, a car cannot run without power. A car cannot run without power. We are here now. In order for the air condition, for the fan, it has to get a power. What is your power source? Let me ask you that question. Is your power source you, or your power source is the Holy Spirit? Because if your power source is you, you are definitely going to fail. If your power source is you, you will fail. Because guess what? Adam failed. It wasn't that Adam wasn't smart. But we need the Holy Spirit. We need that Holy Spirit. In everything we do, the way we live our life, it is the Holy Spirit that will help us. And thank God that Jesus Christ finished the work. Because if he didn't finish the work, we will not have the Holy Spirit to bank on. That is why he told his disciples, he said, do not leave. Don't leave until you do what? You receive power. Do not, because they know we are going to need it. Without the Holy Spirit, we are empty. Nothing. The Lord will help us. So I want us as children of God to remember that work. Remember, think about it, that thank God he finished that work. If he did not finish that work, they say on that Friday when he gave up, they say the veil was open. I love that part. The veil was open. And now, me, you, we can go into the holy of the holies. We don't need anybody to plead and say, oh, pastor, if only you pray for me. You can pray. Because the veil was what? Torn. And now, me and you, we can go into the holy of the holies. Not only did he do that, he proved that death cannot even hold him down. Can you imagine if death was able to hold him down? Every failure in your life, that means they cannot be resurrected. That means you cannot be resurrected from anything. You know, we say failure, bye-bye to failure, bye-bye to failure, because God has risen. He did not remain there. That is where we can tell failure. My God is not a failure. My God fulfilled destiny. I must fulfill destiny. My children must fulfill destiny, because the God that I serve is the God that fulfilled destiny. He did not say trouble will not come. He said trouble will come. He said, but surely I have done what? Overcome. How many of you have fought a fight that you know that you already won? Your attitude is different from fighting a fight that you know you're going to lose. Knowing that he has won that battle, give me and you the confidence to go and fight the battle, because it has already been won. I want to talk about reconciliation. Is the end of the estrangement caused by ordinary sin between God and humanity. That is, he reconciles us, bring us back to God. You are not born again. You are not a child of God because you are such a smart person. I don't know about you. I've been Christian all my life. But when I get born again, it was a different story. And I didn't plan that, I'm going to be born again. It was God that will push you and before you. That's why I don't push people to do things. Like the children I'm teaching, baptizing, I don't want to be baptized. I say, no, keep on coming to the class. Keep on coming to the class. Once you finish with the class, you will know if you're ready or not. Because God is the only one that can do it without error. If you force somebody in, that person will force themselves back out. And they will not remain. You cannot force anybody to do anything. Only God can finish his work in their life. And when God finishes their work, his work in your life, you will be a different person. All this that we're talking about, you need to be, compassionate. It will come naturally. It will come naturally. Loving other people will come naturally. But the thing about it is that sometimes we're not even sure who we are. And we go out there to tell people who they are. And you have to finish with yourself before you can tell other people who they are. The Lord will help us. Look at Romans 5, 6 to 11. I'm just going to, summarize it. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still a sinner, he died for us. While we were still a sinner, it wasn't because we are good, just like what we are talking about this morning. But it can only be God. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us so that we can love people while they are still sinners. That we will not be judgmental about other people. Because it's only God that can help us to do that. On our own, we cannot. Because all we know is to criticize, is to judge, is to evaluate, is to assess. Oh, what did he do? How did he do it? How did he speak? How did he do this? That's all that we know how to do. It's only God. That is why I so much love the way our sister prayed. Now she gave me another prayer point. Because I have to ask God to help me. God, I know I cannot do that. But with the help of God, I can show compassion. I can show love to others. Even though sometimes we think we are not judging, but the other people see it as being judging them. You on your own may not think you are judging, but they can say, you're judging them. My kids tell me that all the time. Mommy, why are you judging me? I have to think in my head that I'm not judging you, but I refuse what you are doing. And then when I tell them I love you, but I hate your sin, they say, no, Mommy, it looks like you hate me. But sometimes we meant well, is what I'm trying to say. Sometimes we meant well, but we just don't know how to communicate it to other people. It is only God that can help us to communicate it to them. And it is only Spirit that can help them to receive it too. Because we have to tell the truth. I tell you guys over here severally that me, if somebody is in the club, I am not going to be the one to preach for you. I will pray for God to send somebody. The reason I will is that I love music. And I'm not going to go over there and say, God bless you, sister. God bless you, sister. Before I know it, I start dancing. So I know my limit. But when I see somebody that I love that is there, I know that I need to pray that God will send somebody to that person. That does not mean that I didn't love that person. But I'm so happy that God showed me who I am. That I know who I am so that I'm not going to infect that person. So and that person is not going to drag me back to my old sin. It's only God that can do it. We cannot do it on our own. We thank Jesus Christ that he finished the work. I always thank him for that because a lot of time I look at myself and I say, huh, you are a wonderful God, though. He is a wonderful God. He is a wonderful God. There is nothing he cannot do. Don't underestimate him. Do not underestimate God. He said, when we are a sinner, he already died for us. He wasn't even looking at who we are or what we can do. He said, I'm laying it down for you. He did not change his mind, thank God. He did not say it was too much. I can't take this no more. Which we do all the time. I just can't take this no more, oh Lord. This is just too much for me. He did not say that. He finished the work of redemption. He finished the work of redemption. Salvation. Salvation, preservation, or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. We all come around and say, oh, I'm saved. I'm saved. Is it not because of the work of perfection that God finished that make you to be saved today? What are we saved from? I like when pastor come up here and say, we have to pray that, Lord, deliver me from myself. You know, a lot of us are saved from ourselves. If you really want to tell the truth, I know I'm saved from myself. Because there are some things that we do to ourselves that if not the grace of God, if not the grace of God, if not the grace of God, we say, eh? How did I do this to myself? How did I find myself in this situation? And it's all you, nobody else. You made the decision. Thank God that he saved us from even ourselves by completing the work of salvation. As a result of this, as a result of what Jesus Christ did, what is in it for me and you? Peace and joy. Peace and joy. I tell people this all the time. I tell my children this when they are not satisfied. I say, you know, nkotolojuko koroni, I say it in English, it's not ease. Because it's busy looking for what other people have. You know somebody that is so, what is eolojuko koroni in English? Help me.
Greed.
Greedy person. What they have, they don't enjoy it. You know why? Because they keep on looking for what is not theirs. And the one that they have is just lying down there. They're not enjoying it. The peace of God has no sorrow, regardless of your situation of what is going on in your life. Lord did not promise us that I will give you 10 houses and 20 cars and 100 wives. He promised he will give every of your need, not your wants. And that is why oftentimes when we are seeing the peace of God, we don't even know how to enjoy it. Because we are still looking outside the peace of God. And I say this one time, I say, you better remain where God puts you. Because when he comes back from you, it's not like he doesn't know where you are. You will not be found. When he was asking Adam, he said, where are you? Are you telling me God didn't know where he is? What he's saying is that you are not where I put you. Enjoy what the Lord gives you. The peace that the Lord gives to you, enjoy it because he died on the cross for you. Faith. We are talking about faith. That is the part of the things that we enjoy as Christians. Like last week or two, we were talking about faith in the class. And I was trying to relate Peter's situation. When Jesus Christ tell him, "Oh, ye of little faith." It wasn't that Peter don't have faith. It wasn't that Peter don't have no doubt. But the problem with Peter was that he took the first step, which is the right thing, and he decided to start looking elsewhere, where you're supposed to continuously looking unto him. A lot of times we talk about, oh, if only I have a bigger faith. You have enough faith. Every one of us have enough faith to live our life. We have it in us. But that little or doubting faith, are you exercising it? Are you exercising that little faith? When you are thinking in your head, should I do this, should I not do this? And you can hear the Holy Spirit say, go, go, go. Are you taking the first step? Or are you still sitting there, oh Lord, what do you want me to do? Oh Lord, what do you want me to do? And he's saying, go, go, go. When he told Peter to come, Peter did. I don't want us to look unto, oh, somebody else have a bigger faith than I do. That is where I'm coming from. No matter how little, no matter how doubting your faith is, when Peter stepped out with his doubting and the little faith, he was able to walk on the water. The only problem he has is that when he stopped looking unto God, what am I trying to say? He already paid the price. Even death cannot hold him. Me and you, what are we doing with that? Are we just taking it for granted and just living life the way life comes to us? Or are we embracing the work of salvation that he completed on the cross? Another thing is power. We're talking about power. Look at the book of Acts, Acts 1:8. He said, but you shall receive power. He didn't say you may receive power. I am not English major. And I tell people, I'm not good to write Yoruba, I'm not good to write English, but I thank God for his grace. Because sometimes people will write me like text, they will write Yoruba, we start laughing. My children will say, Kogba Yoruba. I can't write it. But it is clear here, he didn't say may. He said, you shall what? You shall do what? Receive power. So when God finished the work of perfection on us, we all have the power in us. What are you doing with the power? What are you doing with the Holy Spirit? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work in you? Or you are depending on your own? Like your own power, your own knowledge, your own know-how. Is that what you are depending on? Because that will not take us anywhere. It will fail us. It will fail us. God has paid the price. Joy, everlasting joy, is ours. Regardless of what our situation is, whatever the level of our faith, let us start to operate in that level of faith that we have. And the Holy Spirit. I cannot say it enough about the Holy Spirit. You know, I was happy when Sister Taiwo was talking about praying in spirit. We don't know the power that we have just listening to the Holy Spirit. I tell you here all the time, I work night shift. I'm sitting in the nursing station most of the time, and something will just tell me, Holy Spirit will say, get up. Even people in my place of work, they know. When I get up, you can keep me still. I will get there. Maybe the patient is wrapping the oxygen in their neck. That if I didn't get there right then, cold blue, then I don't leave there until 12 o'clock. If only we listen to the Holy Spirit. Is what I'm telling you. The power is in us. Let us pray to charge it up. Let us pray that Holy Spirit in you to continue to. I was praying for like 6 months that I just want to hear you clearly, Holy Spirit. I just want to know when that was you and nobody else. Because, you know, sometimes we think, maybe I'm talking to myself, that you want to hear God clearly. And God is not the God of confusion. When he tells you something, he will back it up. That is why you know it's God. When he tells you something, he will do what? He will back it up. Let us continue to operate with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. What my brother did, it's not him. More. If he say he's the one that do it, you know he's lying. That is the Holy Spirit. Because I'm pretty sure that day he must have been sleeping and thinking, this girl, hey, and I want to take her to church. Look where she go now. What am I going to do now? Not to talk about the other brothers that we say, ah, brother, ah, I saw your girlfriend, though. She was at the party today. She left all that shame. It's not because he has the power. Don't let anybody deceive you, my brother. That was the Holy Spirit that helped you. That was God that gave you that braveness to say, I'm still going to do this. And the purpose is that God already ordained her that she will be a child of God. God already ordained her that she is going to be a child of God. You were just in place where God wants to walk and you listen to the voice of God. Because if you don't do it, somebody else will do it. He never lost a soul. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say here that let us listen to the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ left us something. We know we Nigerians, we will say, what did your heritage, what did your father leave you? Houses, cars, this. But he left us with Holy Spirit. Let us embrace it. You know how we fight over our father's house that somebody wants to take from us? And say, oh yeah, I'm the rightful owner. That's my father's house. How can you take it? Can we just have that tenacity when it comes to the Holy Spirit? Because that is what Jesus Christ left us. Do we fight, you know, even in Nigeria, they will say, hey, you know, if you don't fight for your right, that is your right. That is your heritage. That is what your father worked for. Are we fighting for what Jesus Christ worked for? Are we fighting for what Jesus Christ left us? The reason our parents leave us houses and so is so that we may not suffer. Jesus Christ leave us Holy Spirit that we may not suffer. I want us all to remember that in all that we do. Look at my brother came out. He said, I'm going through a lot. I don't come to church every Sunday. I remember there was a Sunday that Daddy was saying, telling us what happened. But he still come out and say, I want to thank God for my life. How many of us are thanking God in the midst of mess? Or are we saying, oh Lord, you didn't do that one, forget you now. Because he has a way of working things out. I have a sister in Dallas, she will tell me, she will say, oh no, no, abayo. That means he has a way, his own way of working things out. If only we leave it and let him be. If only we are not using our own human understanding. He already completed the work. That is the news I have for you today. And don't look down. As a child of the Most High God, you look up where your help comes from. Don't look down and say, hey, how am I going to do this? Just tell it to the Lord. You have done it. Whatever it is, so I can do this, you do it. I tell people my story, sometimes they laugh. Taiwo is already laughing already. When I told them about when I went for my immigration interview, I told this story. The Lord is telling me to go. Everybody is telling me not to go. And I was like, what is this, Lord? So I was telling God, I said, God, I don't know what you want to do, but you must have a plan for this one. How are you going to do it? I don't know. It gets to a stage, they call me for interview. The people that were together that cooked my paper for me, they said, oh, your own is too much. They didn't ask us to come for interview. I was told, let's run away. And I heard the Lord say, no, I have finished this. I say, the Lord say he has finished this. I went there, I was praying. I said, God, shame on you if you ask yourself a question you can't answer. I was talking to God like that. I said, because I don't even know what they have in the paper that they cook up for me. So I have to tell God, I say, shame on you if you ask yourself a question you cannot answer. And the Lord say, I have finished this. Not that said, I'm just telling you this. I'm just telling you this to build you up. When he said he has done it, I went there. My husband said, Mother Teresa, you are hearing voices. I said, yeah, it's the voice of God. I went over there. The man that took me there was like, I pray he's a man. I pray he's a man. I pray because women are wicked. I say, sir, move to the side. Let God bring whoever he has finished this work with. He come out to be a lady. The man say, hey. I say, move to the side, sir. I say, here I come, oh, my sister. She says, sit down. I put my baby in my stomach. Carry her like an American style. So if I'm going to Nigeria, I want to go American style. Put my baby in my stomach. The lady look at me. He said, he asked me for my baby. My baby birthday and her birthday was the same thing. Case settled. Case settled. She said, I said, ah. She said, oh, we have the same birthday. I said, hallelujah, Lord. Come on, let's keep on going. As she was asking me questions, I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. Then I'm throwing the word back to her. And she started doing like this. She started shaking her head. I said, Father, thank you for your work of perfection. When I get out of there, they say, come back in 2 weeks to get your result. I get out. He said, oh, Tisheo. Baba Tisheo. Oh, Tisheo. Oh, Baba Tisheo. I start dancing. Even my husband saw me at the airport. He said, what? I say, oh, Tisheo, Mother Teresa, what is this nonsense? What has he done now? They have not told you yes. But that is what the Spirit of God told me. Did he not do it? He finished the work of perfection. I went there in 2 weeks. The man now, told me, you have been granted. I don't listen to anything. Can I walk? Can I walk? That is the question I'm asking. Eventually, he said, oh, yeah, you have been granted. I said, I've been granted. Hold on right there. I start rolling. Mom, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. I said, no, I'm not getting up. I'm rolling. But what am I trying to say is that God has finished whatever our problem is. I just want us not to be, thinking or doubting God or saying, how is he going to do it? Or being worried about, oh, you have done this person or you leave my own. God is going to do it at the appropriate time. That is why he did all this work on Calvary. That is why he did not remain in the grave. If God, Jesus Christ remained in the grave, he does not change his name. But he changed me and you. Hear that. If he remained there, they already stoned him. They already beat him. They already did everything. He did not change who Jesus Christ is. He's still Jesus Christ. He's dead. Forget it. But me and you, our tomorrow is what he finished the work for. Me and you, our tomorrow. He could have told those people, all of you, fall down and die. He will still remain within his power. But where will me and you be today? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So that is why I remember that song. That because he lives, I can face tomorrow. What is your tomorrow that is making you to be afraid? That is making you to doubt God? That is making you to question God? That is making you to sleep and say, ah, I don't even know if tomorrow is another day. Your tomorrow he got because he lives. Your tomorrow is in his hand. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one that knows the beginning, the end from the beginning. He doesn't make mistakes. He does not make mistakes. He is a God of perfection. He perfects his work. And the grace to continue, the Lord will give unto us. The grace to continue to serve him the way he wants us to serve him, the Lord will give us that grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We are going to pray. We are going to say, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, I'm inviting you in my life. Incubate me, O Lord. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Most High God. I need you in my life, in everything. I need you, Holy Spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life. Because that is what Jesus Christ left us with. Invite the Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stretch forth our hands to the woman that the Lord has laid, has used. The Father, Lord God Almighty, He has delivered your word. Jehovah, fill her back. Fill her back with your power, Father, Lord Jehovah. Fill her back with your anointing, Lord Jesus. Fill her back, Lord God Almighty, with your Holy Spirit. Father, never leave her alone in the name of Jesus. All this word that she has spoken, Father, Lord, don't let them stand against her in the name of Jesus. Jesus, because you live, we can face tomorrow. My Father, my God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as long as she lives, Lord God Almighty, all that tomorrow is in your care. Father, take care of her in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Never leave her alone in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit of God dwells in her richly in the name of Jesus. All that she needs, Father Lord, to walk with you, Father, give unto her. In the name of Jesus. Never leave her alone. Never leave her alone. Use her the more in the name of Jesus. This will not be the last for her in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father who art in heaven. Thank you, the King of glory. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Offering time. Blessing time.